Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday, and I got news for you. It is not just Tuesday. It is an absolutely glorious Tuesday. Right about now, I'm looking at the official thermometer here in the former Plaque Shack. 72.5 degrees. Yes! Bright sunshine. It is fantastic. Now, the pollen has kicked up a bit, but, you know, what are you going to do? We're in Central Virginia. It's just kind of the way it goes. I will deal with that. Lots that you and I will handle this afternoon. Our good friend, Governor Doug Wilder, is going to drop by at 5:03. There's yet another building that should or should not be built, and somebody should pay $50, $70 million, even if it's not built. Governor Wilder will tackle that for us at 5:03. Smartest lawyer on God's green earth, Joe Moreno, is going to be here at 5:33. You know, he joins us every other Tuesday, and we're always happy to have his expert legal analysis. And today is one of those days where it is vital that we have it. Robert Hur, the special counsel who investigated Joe Biden's mishandling, inappropriate handling of classified documents, is testifying before Congress. And what is fascinating is that you have the Democrats doing everything possible to handle the cleanup on aisle Joe. Let me give you an example. We're having some technical difficulties at the moment. And you have to understand, we maintain the... Well, it's like a branch office of the Museum of Broadcasting. So there's some technical difficulties getting some of the audio to load quickly today. But it, well, you know, is what it is. So I'm just going to read it to you, if that's all right. This is Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal from Washington State. She says to special counsel Hur, quote, "So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden." Now, she just states that. Then she goes on to say, "For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S. Code 793, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?" So I'm assuming now, because she is a far left wing hack, she is expecting, I suppose, a yes answer, something that would confirm what she just said, that Joe Biden did nothing wrong. Well, Robert Hur is not playing her game. Robert Hur answers, and let me quote him. "Congresswoman, That is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of the word that you used, exoneration. That is not a word that was used in the report, and that is not part of my task as a prosecutor. The judgment that I received and that I ultimately reached was relating to whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome would be a conviction. Jayapal then responds, "You exonerated him," and he shoots back immediately, quote, "I did not exonerate him," end quote. Now, why is that important? Because the Democrats, as we get closer and closer to December, since they have thrown their lot in with this despicable buffoon in the Oval Office, have to claim over and over and over again that Biden wasn't charged in this matter because, well, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, unlike that orange guy with the mean tweets. Here's the interesting part of this. The orange guy with the mean tweets was president of the United States. What does that mean? It means he could do any damn thing he wanted to do with any stinking document that he wanted to do it with. Didn't have to ask for permission from anyone, didn't have to tell anyone, didn't have to make a note, didn't have to draw a smiley face on it, didn't have to put a post-it on it, didn't have to do anything. President of the United States says, yep, yeah, it's no longer classified. He doesn't have to say it out loud. He's looking at it as he's going through the papers. Eh, not classified. That's all. That's it. The president is the one and only person with that power. And Donald Trump, that's the guy, you know, the orange guy with the mean tweets. Former president, God willing, future president. That'd be neat to be 45 and 47, right? He had every right to do with the papers whatever the hell he wanted to do. Joe Biden was not president of the United States. He wasn't even vice president in most cases. He was a senator. And I know you and I look at senators and go, oh my gosh, there are only 100 of these guys in D.C. Isn't it? It's a very select group. Yeah, except when you get to D.C., senators, not quite as low on the totem pole as congressmen, but they're not exactly upper echelon either. They can't take anything, is my point. They can't go into a skiff in one of these secured places to review the information and then take stuff with them. They have no power to classify or declassify. They cannot just pick up stuff and take it. They have to follow all the rules that somebody else, to wit, the President of the United States, sets. So Joe Biden had exactly zero authority to take any of this stuff anywhere. Well, Jeff, Congresswoman Jayapal says he was exonerated. And, well, Special Counsel Hurst says, no, I didn't exonerate him. The word exonerate doesn't appear anywhere in this report. Here's the important part of that interchange. Here's the important part of that exchange, which, again, the Democrats will do everything possible to blur, obscure, obfuscate, get you to look away. He says, this is not a word used in the report. And then he says, the judgment that I received and that I ultimately reached was relating to, pay attention, whether sufficient evidence existed such that the likely outcome would be a conviction. And this is where Joe Biden's mental state is in play. Special Counsel Herr does not say he didn't violate the law. In fact, he lays out all of the predicate elements that would indicate to anyone and everyone reviewing them, he sure as hell violated the law. However, what does he say there? The likely outcome. Would the likely outcome be a conviction? This is a discussion that every prosecutor in every free system of jurisprudence, I mean, I guess we should just confine it to the United States, but every prosecutor everywhere be it at a municipal level, a state level, or a federal level, every one of those prosecutors must examine that question. Would the evidence lead? Would it be likely that the evidence would lead to a conviction? And this is where all the disqualifying pieces come in. This is where the report is so important, because it says, hey, it's clear Joe Biden broke the law. We get it. But he's such a buffoon. He is so clueless. We're pretty sure the guy probably has some sort of dementia. And you know what? He just comes across as your lovable buffoon of an uncle. He's not going to get convicted. That doesn't mean he didn't do it. Determining that likely outcome. That's the real world. That's real politic, if you will. That is where law enforcement and prosecutors invariably are kind of butting heads, right? Because whoever locks you up, they know you did the crime, right? That's why we locked you up. The prosecutor has to go a step further. The prosecutor can fully, totally, completely understand you committed that crime. But they look at all of these other pieces, all of these other parts, all of these other elements and say, you know what? The mafia guy in New York, the godfather who was walking around in pajamas and a bathrobe. Yeah, we know he did all this stuff, but man, look at him. Is anybody going to believe that he was running a billion-dollar racketeering operation? We're going to need more. People do this all the time to say, oh, well, I'm not competent to stand trial. I can't possibly stand trial. I couldn't possibly have done this. I have diminished capacity. How could I commit an armed robbery when I'm, I don't know, I have no body strength, right? I couldn't lift the gun, right? That would be part of this. And the prosecutor's going to look at all of that. So Robert Hur, as the special counsel, looks at all of this and says, hey, I get it. Joe Biden's as dirty as they get. Again, all apologies to Ric Flair, but it is, in fact, Joe Biden who is the dirtiest player in the game. But the guy doesn't know when his son died. He doesn't know when he was elected. He doesn't know when Donald Trump was elected. In fact, according to the Daily Mail, which has the official transcripts, I'm going to share those with you. I just want to give you a little taste. Joe Biden said, I don't recall, I don't remember, and quote, I have no goddamn idea, end quote, more than 100 times during his discussion with special counsel Robert Hur. Does that not tell you everything? Yeah. There are a few other parts that come up in the transcript of this two-day interview that will, man, they're just going to blow your socks off, and I'm going to get to those in just a couple of moments. Now, I'm going to remind you, Craig Peterson is going to be here. He joins us every Tuesday. Great, great guy. We talk about tech and staying safe online. It's just always, at least for me, it's just one of the greatest parts of the week. I love Craig. 503, Governor Doug Wilder is going to be dropping by. One of the few guys, I say this over and over, and God bless him, I love the Gov. I really do. Is he 92, 93? He is as honest as the day is long, as far as I'm concerned. He's got another scandal to tell us about that nobody else is covering. So we've got to talk about that. And our legal expert, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, former federal prosecutor Joe Moreno, he'll be with us at 5:33 so that we can closely examine what happened with Special Counsel Hur's report. Germ, don't forget, we've got tickets to give away for Rain. That is a tribute to the Beatles. It's going to be part of Chesterfield After Hours. You tell me, what do you think, 520 work for you? If 520-ish works for you, then it'll work for the rest of us. All right, 520-ish will give you a chance to win those tickets for Rain. Special tribute to the Beatles at Chesterfield After Hours. 315, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 321. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Tuesday. Yes, indeed. We have absolutely made it. Some breaking news, some good news for a change, an indication that perhaps the insanity is coming to an end. The United Kingdom has now blocked puberty blockers for kids. All right, all these drugs that are screwing up children, that are saying to boys, oh, you can be a girl, and saying to girls, oh, you should be a boy. the nonsense apparently is coming to an end in the United Kingdom. Thank God. The National Health Service now banning puberty blockers for children because, quote, there's not enough evidence of safety, end quote. Well, no kidding. No kidding. What can I tell you? XY doesn't equal XX. XX doesn't equal XY. And it never will. It never will. That doesn't mean anybody hates you, despite what the left-wing wackadoodles are trying to convince you of. Nobody hates you. We're just not going to be part of your delusion. That's all. We're not going to play any games. If you're an adult guy and you've decided, hey, I want to dress up like a lady, I don't really care. Look, I live in Ashland. We've got a guy here, Kenny. Everybody knows him. Kenny is a dude with a beard, and he's clearly a guy. And don't ask me why. He loves wearing ladies' clothing, and he loves riding his bicycle. And so every day when the weather's warm, Kenny is doing his own parade through Ashland. You know what I do when I see him? I wave to him. And he waves back. I don't hate him. Do I hate you if you're thinking, oh, I really believe I'm a woman trapped in a guy's body. I'm really a guy trapped in a woman's body. Look, I wish you nothing but the best. I hope that you have a very long, very happy life. I really do. But what I will not do is play along with delusions and lies. I'm just not going to do it. So to hear that the United Kingdom now says, nope, no more puberty blockers for children, that is great news. Right? You get to be an adult and you decide you want to take that medication or your doctor says, oh, this might work for you. Then you are free to make that decision. I have no right to stand there and say, oh, you can't do that. But when you're foisting this nonsense on children, I do have to stand up, and I do have to take a stand, and I have to absolutely positively agree at this point with the National Health Service over the United Kingdom. All right, I've got a little bit more on Special Counsel Herr, what he did and did not say in front of Congress. Oh, and that open border, you know, Joe Biden has decimated and destroyed our border. Guess what? It's apparently a conduit for ISIS-connected terrorists. Anybody care? Because tell you that I really do care more than just a little bit. Coming up at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, my friend John Reed will be here. Please make sure you're here for that. 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Lots of moving parts today. I want to remind you that you can always shoot us a text if you would like. The Chronic Care of Richmond text line available to you all the time. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. And did I just hear a promotional announcement for Politics and Pints presented by Chronic Care of Richmond? All right, well, I guess we still have a couple of tickets left. Man, I don't know what you're waiting for. I'm with you. I'm sick of talking about getting your tickets. So just get your tickets already, would you please? You know what I think it's going on? Now, and again, I don't know, but I think there are people thinking, oh, you know what? They're going to give them away. It'll be a price. It's not. That I can tell you. You're going to have to get your tickets if you'd like to come. And make no mistake, it's always such great fun. It really is. Last time, Governor Doug Wilder was with us there at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. By the way, Governor Wilder will be with us on the air today at 5:03. This time, we've got Brian Kilmeade coming in from Fox and Friends. So that's going to be such wonderful fun. Me and John Reed. Howard Gutman is there as well. Why is Howard there? Because we're told we have to bring him. I mean, he's a nice guy and all. He's wrong about, good Lord, everything. But nonetheless, he shows up and he's basically pleasant. He was kind of cranky last time, but it's always a good time. It's fun. Part of that has to do with the fact that it's politics and pints, and the pints will certainly help to round the edges off all of the political stuff. So if you have not gotten your tickets yet, I'm just telling you, now's the time. WRBA.com. It's the only way to get them. It is March the 20th at the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. All right. We have a snippet here. Jeremy, working overtime. You got some stuff there to fire up, which is great. This is the exchange I was just referencing. This Congresswoman Jaya Powell out of Washington State, special counsel her. Go ahead, Jeremy. Let's take a listen to this.
Chair, I recognize the gentlelady from Washington for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Special Counsel Herr, thank you for being here. Thank you for your work. In your investigation, you reviewed more than 7 million documents and conducted 173 interviews of 147 witnesses, including President Biden. Is that correct?
Yes, Congresswoman.
And your 15-month investigation cost several million dollars and resulted in a comprehensive 345-page report with several dozen pages of appendices. Is it correct that, as it says in the first sentence of your executive summary, that your investigation concluded with an assessment that, quote, no criminal charges are warranted in this matter?
Correct.
So this lengthy, expensive, and independent investigation resulted in a complete exoneration of President Joe Biden. For every document you discussed in your report, you found insufficient evidence that the president violated any laws about possession or retention of classified materials. The primary law that you analyzed for potential prosecution was part of the Espionage Act, 18 U.S.C. 793E, which criminalizes willful retention or disclosure of national defense information. Is that correct?
Congresswoman, that is one statute that we analyzed. I need to go back and make sure that I take note of a word that you used, exoneration. That
Mr.
is not a word
Herr,
that
I'm going to continue with my questions.
That's not part of my task as a
I'm going to continue with my questions. I know that,
that
the term
that I ultimately reached related
I know that
to whether
the term,
sufficient evidence existed such that the likely
you
outcome
you exonerated
a conviction.
I know that
I did
the
not
term willful
that word
retention
does not in the report,
has a Mr. Herr, it's my time. Thank you. I know.
Oh my. Oh, well, now. So here's what happens in this investigation, as happens in every investigation. There comes a point where the prosecutor, be it a Commonwealth's attorney, a district attorney, state's attorney, county prosecutor is what they call it in New Jersey. I'm trying to go through the list. There's a million of them. Judicial, circuit, prosecutor. I mean, at some point, there's a prosecutor. Federal level, it's an assistant U.S. attorney. But there's a prosecutor. And the prosecutor takes all the information that all of the investigators have compiled, all the police officers, deputy sheriffs, state troopers, special agents, takes it all in and says, okay, let's take a look at some of this stuff. Each crime has a fact pattern associated with it. And you've got to fit the pieces into those four corners. Here is what constitutes such and such a crime, the elements of crime. And the case of Joe Biden, it's clear when you look at the report, Joe Biden willfully withheld classified documents. He took them without any right to have. He clearly violated the law. But what Special Counsel Herr did, and again, what every prosecutor in every case looks at, is this. How will this be seen by a judge or a jury? Will a judge look at this and say, come on now? Will a jury look at it and say, well, yeah, I mean, clearly he did this, but he's a doddering old fool. He did not find exoneration in this report. The other thing that you will find in this report, just so you know, is that Special Counsel Herr points out Joe Biden had no idea when his son died. Now, that's pretty important, don't you think? The other thing is, despite what Joe Biden said when he threw that temper tantrum on national television, it was not Special Counsel Herr who brought up the death of his son. It was Joe Biden himself who raised it because he was trying to figure out when he wrote a book and he had no idea when his son died. Joe Biden had no idea of the years that he was vice president. And more than 100 times, more than 100 times, During this two-day discussion, Joe Biden uttered the phrase, "I don't recall, I don't remember, I have no goddamn idea," more than 100 times. Now, these are not contemporaneous notes that were taken, although clearly those exist. This is the transcript. You know, if you go into court and there's a court reporter, you have some sort of an arbitration or a mediation, usually a court reporter of some sort. That's what this is. This is simply a transcript of what was said, what was said by this person, this person, this person. According to the transcript, Joe Biden was often confused by the dates he served as vice president. He was confused. He had no idea, he claims, about how classified documents ended up in his home. Her, in this report, says Joe Biden is elderly, he is forgetful, and he has, and I quote, diminished faculties. In other words, he is not competent to stand trial. And yet, the Democrats would have you believe he's completely and totally competent to be president of the United States. They want it both ways. They want to tell you, oh, well, look, he didn't commit a crime. They go, well, wait a minute, he did commit a crime, but he wouldn't be found guilty because of his diminished faculties. That's the sort of thing you hear in criminal cases when somebody is stark raving crazy, legally insane, or doesn't understand the difference between right and wrong. Or, like Joe Biden, is elderly and feeble with diminished faculties. Doesn't have what it takes to understand what's going on. Joe Biden repeatedly asked himself the question, what month did Beau die? He's not asking anybody else. He's asking himself, apparently. And then at one point, he remembers the date, but he doesn't remember the year. And other people had to remind him, apparently more than once, that his son had died in 2015. And he responds, was it 2015 when he died? You remember when Joe Biden held his televised temper tantrum, and he said, and I quote, I know what the hell I'm doing. Remember, he insisted that his memory is fine? Not according to this. According to this, he has, well, he's feeble. He has diminished faculties, which would render him incapable of standing trial.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Remember Joe Biden was talking about the death of his son, and he put it all on Robert Hur, and he said, how in the hell dare he raise that? Frankly, when I was asked the question, I thought to myself, it wasn't any of their damn business, and yet they didn't raise that question. It was him. He was repeatedly asking himself when his son, Beau Biden, died. He asked other questions because he couldn't remember the years he was vice president. He didn't remember critical dates. He asks them, when did I announce for president? Later in this particular interview, Biden, quote, needed clarification on when he departed the office of vice president. Well, if it was 2013, when did I stop being vice president, asked Biden. And his attorney said, no, it was 2017. Wow. So then he says at one point, so in 2009, am I still vice president? Wow. Her asked the president about a second collection of boxes found behind a rocking chair in his garage. How did he get them? Quote, I have no goddamn idea. Wow. He also couldn't remember any of the times when he pulled out classified documents to discuss them with the staff. Oh, I don't recall doing that, he said. He also told her he couldn't remember finding any classified stuff downstairs, despite what he had told the person who was actually ghostwriting his book. Biden says in this interview, and we'll break after this germ, I promise you, the only thing I can remember is I wanted to be clear to him that I didn't want what he had just heard me say. I didn't want any of that mentioned. It was confidential. Wow. No, I don't remember how I got it, talking about boxes of all sorts of stuff. According to the transcript, Biden goes down multiple long-winded tangents while making jokes. He joked about the FBI raiding his house. But once again, what did Robert Hur, the special counsel, report? Not that Joe Biden was exonerated, not that Joe Biden had not committed these acts, but rather because he was elderly and forgetful with diminished faculties, it would be unlikely that he would be convicted of these crimes. That is a far cry from exoneration. 345, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 351, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. All right, so you heard it. It's there. The big official voice said we've still got a couple of tickets left for Politics and Pints presented by Chronic Care of Richmond. I know that we are a walk-up town. I learned that a long time ago. I'm going to wait till the night of the show to get my tickets. I would suggest you not do that for many reasons, not the least of which is that we don't sell tickets at the door. So if you want to join us, you'll need to go to WRBA.com, get your tickets. I mentioned Chronic Care of Richmond. You know, they're presenting Politics and Pints, but they are also responsible for our text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, Biden's chronic use of his dead son's name was, is, and always will be disgusting. He was, is, and always will be a nasty person. That is absolutely true in my assessment. Hey, Jeff, it has been said hell is what you make it. Biden's hell would be to put him in the Bastille in D.C. along with the political prisoners of January the 6th. That's Mike and Bottoms Bridge. Jeff, I think what remains unspoken by her is his almost certain knowledge that a D.C. jury would never convict Biden or any other liberal Democrat. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. That's Evelyn from Chester. She goes on to say, where is the justice in having D.C. juries determining matters of interest to the entire nation? Can we please change this? The answer is no. No, we cannot. Because trials are held in whichever particular district, whatever location it happens to be. But you're absolutely right, Evelyn. You know as well as I do that special counsel Hur looked at this and said, okay, he's a feeble old man. He's not up to it. His faculties are not there. He's just, you know, he's a clueless, walking, presidential meat puppet, sort of a buffoon. And nobody's going to convict him because, well, gosh, he just seems like a nice guy. He's a nasty dude. Always has been. But he has this image he's presented. Okay. But Evelyn, you're absolutely right. You know, and I know that Special Counsel Herr in the background is thinking, man, I could have this guy do an XYZ on video. In fact, he could do it live in front of a D.C. jury. And a D.C. jury just would not convict him of anything. That is a problem, but it's also the system. Can we change it? I would seriously doubt it. We could maybe address some of it if we all come to our senses in time for the election in November. Wait, when is it going to start, right? Because we have early election. Right now we got election season. I don't know, October, September, whenever it starts. You got to vote. And you're going to have to hold your nose, some of you, and say, well, all right, I'm going to vote for the orange guy with the mean tweets. I don't want to, but I will. That's fine. We'll take it. You want to save the country, you have exactly one option at this point. And when you vote for Donald John Trump, I'm going to tell you, you better vote for Republicans straight down the line and give him the team that he's going to need to make some real, real changes. Because without it, this country's lost. I hate to say it, but it would be absolutely, positively lost. 5:20 this afternoon, you've got a chance to win tickets for Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, at Chesterfield After Hours. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., you've got a chance to listen to my friend John Reed. And while you go online to WRVA.com to get your tickets for Politics and Pints, presented by Chronic Care of Richmond, check out JeffKatzTrip.com and join me as we head down under to Australia. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Now, you know what that means. Every Tuesday, my friend Craig Peterson joins us. He'll be with us just about a half hour from now. We'll talk about some tech stuff. Just take a little break from all of the incredibly crazy political nonsense that we have to deal with. Yeah. And then Governor Wilder is going to be with us at 5:03. We got Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. He'll be with us at 5:33. He joins us actually every other Tuesday. And we do, especially today, need his insight, his analysis of what has been going on with the legal situation with Joe Biden. I mean, we've been hearing about it all day. I know that. And I don't want to continue beating it. But the reality is, it is clear when you look at the report and you listen to what Special Counsel Herr had to say, Joe Biden broke all sorts of laws. There's no question about that. There just isn't. What is in evidence, though, is that the special counsel said, well, you know what, I don't think we get a conviction. Why? Because he has diminished capacity. He has diminished faculties. He's just not all there. He's elderly. He's forgetful. And he has a diminished capacity. Now, that ought to be just a complete and total indictment in terms of the political world. There should be nobody who looks at that and says, oh, yeah, well, that's the guy I want as president. But the Democrats are doing exactly that right now. They're rallying around because they don't have any other options. I do think that's a shame. I really do. And there are plenty of people who are saying, well, I don't like this guy, or I understand. And I'm not here to be anybody's cheerleader, but I'm not running for office. I have no interest in running for office. But I would like to be able to pass on to my sons a nation. And whether it's a perfect nation or not, well, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. There's nothing that's perfect, is there? Do you know of anything that's perfect? Aside from your wife. Understood. She's perfect. But aside from her, anything that's perfect? No. So each of us, every generation, in my opinion, we sort of take custody of the United States of America. And we keep it safe and secure, and we polish it when it needs to be polished and hammer out some of the dents. But we don't destroy the whole flipping thing. We do our best to preserve it and make it better. Always improving, right? Isn't that how most of us, well, no, maybe it's not most of us. A lot of us try to live our lives with that same sort of view. I know I do. My mission for a personal level is to try and make myself better. And when you're dealing with somebody like me, that's not hard. Believe me, because I'm coming from the island of misfit toys. There's a lot of stuff that's wrong. Well, try and fix it. Try and address it. Try and help it along. That's what I'm trying to do. I think about some of the great teachers that I've had throughout the years, and specialty teachers, right? To spend time last year with John Maxwell. I mean, I've been reading John Maxwell's books for, I don't know, 20 years. And then to actually spend time with him, I was like, oh my gosh. To be selected to go to Dallas, Texas for the Ziegler Organization. How many years? I mean, since I was really a little kid, have I been studying Zig Ziegler? Going to have an opportunity to spend some time with Les Brown. Somebody else, again, who I have followed one way or another for decades. Les Brown has so many different messages, and one of them is about knowing the difference between your job and your mission, your calling. People don't necessarily get that. I mean, he talks about how being, you know, you're here for a reason. You and I are here for a reason, and you can ascribe it to whatever you would like. There are those of us who are people of faith who say, well, it's pretty clear why I'm here and what I'm doing, and I know why. And others going, well, it's the cosmos. I don't care. Well, I do. But fundamentally, I mean, you got to make that choice. You got to make that call. But there is a reason that you and I now have a choice between these two men running to be president of the United States. And quite frankly, we have an obligation, if we are decent people, to vote for this nation. I don't see how you can do that and say, oh, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden. I just don't see it. I don't hear it. I don't understand it. For all of his faults, Donald Trump is the one guy running who can fix the economy. Oh, gosh, should I have mentioned this? Inflation is up again, unexpectedly. You know, there's some things you don't want to hear. If you're at the doctor's office, you don't want to hear your doctor say to another doctor, come take a look at this. I don't want to hear that. If I go into a restaurant, I don't want to hear that they're out of the duck. And I don't want to hear our economic poobahs say, oh, well, inflation was up unexpectedly. Remember, it's just a month or so ago. At the Chamber RVA event, the president of the Richmond Fed was there. I don't remember his name, but I mean, he was talking about how everything was just fine. Just fine. Oh, well, okay. 2 months in a row, inflation ticking up, quote, unexpectedly. That's not good. So how do you combat that if you are, in fact, on the left? Well, you can't argue the numbers, right? You can't really argue the science. You can't argue that. So you know what you're going to do? We got to reach into our soggy salad here, Jerm. But cut number two, CNN tells us exactly how you combat that.
If he's going to be shameless, which is his greatest asset, the shamelessness of him, is then Biden has to get in there very hard and go rapist, racist, fascist, over and over and over again. And then the trials are happening at the same time. He's just had to pay. He's just $93 million right. poorer right now. And just hammer it in with those three things. Rapist, racist, fascist.
But here's the thing.
Thank
voters,
you. That's voters. My.
Well, that's what you do. I mean, you just make crap up and you repeat it over and over again. Doesn't matter that it's a lie. You tell it often enough, everybody's going to believe it. Gosh, who said that first? Because that's not her. She's not the one who came up with the, well, you find a lie, a really big lie, and you tell that big lie over and over and over again, and then, well, people just accept it. It originated somewhere else. I don't know. I'm sure somebody smarter than I am has knowledge of that. Yeah, shoot me a text. You can send it to me on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I think about my friends at Chronic Care, by the way, Dr. Brian Snyder and Janine. I'm overdue, by the way, to reach out to them. So, Brian and Janine, I do apologize. I got an email fired up I got to send out to you because they've got, as I understand it, they brought on another doctor. It's just an amazing operation Chronic Care of Richmond is. And they do great things for you. I mean, you're dealing with pain and all of that, but also in supporting our community. Again, they're presenting Politics and Pints again. They're great people. If you are not yet in possession of a ticket for Politics and Pints, we're what, a week away? God, I can't even believe that there's still a ticket or two left, but apparently there is. So if you'd like to go, you're going to need to go to WRBA.com, get that ticket now. Why you can, and Chronic Care of Richmond presenting Politics and Pints. Chronic Care of Richmond also responsible for our text line, 833-804-1140. A couple of moments from now, we've got Craig Peterson, who's going to join us as he does every Tuesday afternoon. We'll talk a little bit about tech and being safe on the web. I am the proud owner, as you know, of a brand new Galaxy S24 Ultra, and it's really a neat thing because it has a pen that I can use to take notes, and I haven't had it out yet to take notes, but any day now, I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to be important. Coming up at 5:20, your chance to win a pair of tickets to Rain. That is a tribute to the Beatles, happening at the Chesterfield After Hours. Great venue to see a concert. Again, 5:20-ish is when I'll give you a chance to win those tickets. It is 4:13, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. I know what you're thinking. It's 4:20-ish. You're right. But we're giving the tickets away at 5:20-ish. So just an hour-ish from now, you'll have a chance to win a pair of tickets for Rain, this wonderful tribute to the Beatles. It's going to be at Chesterfield After Hours. They got some amazing concerts coming in. I know we've got Matt Krieger going to be joining us this week, next week, whatever it is. Jeremy's got that handled. But Matt puts together all these after-hours concerts up here in Doswell, Meadow Event Park, down in Chesterfield, and some great stuff coming. Can I also tell you what else is coming weather-wise? Just because we're kind of sort of getting into my weather. I like warm weather. I really do. I hate the cold. I hate the snow. I hate the ice. Thursday, we're talking about mostly sunny, highs tickling 80 degrees. Friday, sunny, couple of pop-up thunderstorms, and again, close to 80 degrees. I will absolutely, positively take that every single day of the week. I came across a story. There's an analysis that has been done, and I can't give you all of the details, except that the takeaway from this analysis, apparently conducted by a wide variety, they claim, of social scientists and the like, they claim that more LGBTQ plus couples are going to be entering the world of polyamory in this coming year. And I don't know, is that like something you plan? Where, you know, you're together, and I don't know if you're a, you know, boyfriend and boyfriend, girlfriend and girlfriend, whatever it is, partners, special people, I don't care, pick whatever title you like. But do you then say, you know what's really missing here? Yeah, we need a third person. I don't think I've ever said that. And I don't know how does that come up in conversation? Like, I can remember a few years back, Heidi and I were watching some television show. I think it was called Sister Wives, right? And we both, it's funny, we both said, you know what we need? We need a sister wife. Now, I think we were looking at it for different reasons, but we both thought, somebody to kind of help out and carries some of the weight here and, you know, and be friendly and happy and all that. But I don't know how that comes up in legitimate conversation. And I'm looking at the numbers on this. And again, I take all of this with a grain of salt. I get so many goofy emails every single day telling me about this or that. But I'm looking at this going, really? This is a study, and it says there's a large segment, apparently, sizable segment. I'm going to say large, a sizable segment of the gay community, which is planning to expand their relationships to include more people. And is there a cutoff? Like, if you go with this, quote, polyamory, how far does that go? Is it just one other person? Are you bringing a whole passel of people? What's the correct terminology? Is it a pack? Is it a school? Well, maybe if you're only inviting the teachers. And what do you call this, and how do you propose that? I just, to me, seems so bizarre. And I don't know, I just go back to all of this, one person over there, one person over there, you get together, it's all good. All right. Listen, Craig Peterson is going to join us in a couple of moments. We'll talk a little bit about tech and staying safe online, all that good stuff. You've got a chance. Guess what? We've still got a couple of tickets left, I guess, for Politics and Pints presented by Chronic Care of Richmond. Head on over right now, WRBA.com. And while you're online, remember JeffKatzTrip.com, because I'd love to have you come and join me in Australia in November. 426, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Lots of stuff that we are discussing this afternoon. My friend and the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, Joe Moreno, is going to be with us in just 1 hour. A former federal prosecutor. And so I am just curious to hear what he's got to say about special counsel Herr and all this other stuff that we've been dealing with as we've headed through today. We've got Governor Doug Wilder coming up in a couple of moments. And you know what happens on Tuesdays? Every Tuesday at 4:33, we've got Craig Peterson, who joins us, talks a little bit about, a lot of tech stuff, but I mean, remaining safe online. That does seem to be the challenge more often than not. Craig, thank you for being here, my friend.
Hey, you are welcome, mate. Did you hear about Gwyneth Paltrow's new doorstop? She's using her Oscar as a doorstop. I know you have the Samsung, but wow, that's pretty cool. Can you imagine these people, right? They're celebrating themselves. Why would anybody watch the Oscars? I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird.
No, you are not weird. You are absolutely correct. And I know that you are absolutely correct because my wife watched it again. Now, you know, she's in love with our Samsung devices. She watched it like it was the Super Bowl, Craig. It was 7 hours of pre-game nonsense.
Oh, my. Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
It's more than crazy. It's demented is what it is. But all that being said...
Hey, I put an article this week in the newsletter about this quiz trap. I don't know if you had a chance to read that or not. But you probably remember back when President Trump was running and this whole thing with Cambridge Analytica and the left was just going crazy because, oh my gosh, he had a quiz running by this company, Cambridge Analytica, out of the UK, quiz running inside of Facebook. And it was used now to get what's called a social graph of everybody that answered the quiz. And so the idea behind all of that is, I know that Jeff Katz is related literally to Heidi or, you know, these kids or those people. And therefore, it puts it all together and says, okay, so he must be interested in voting for Trump, or he's an old man, so he really wants to make sure that this is the case, right? All of that stuff. So that's what the social graphs are all about. Of course, the press forgot to mention that Facebook gave everything on hundreds of millions of users to the Biden campaign for nothing. But anyways, mm-hmm. Trump was terrible, and they were able to get all this information. That sort of thing is still going on today. And what I'm talking about here is this quiz trap. You go and you answer the quiz. And I was talking with a friend of mine, and he was saying, yeah, I love answering the quizzes on history because I like to, you know, keep up on history and make sure I'm not mistaken. It's one thing to...
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Answer a quiz. But why, Jeff? Why would they put a quiz online if they don't have a benefit themselves? Right? Facebook makes sense. They want to keep your eyeballs, right, on the website.
Yeah.
But how about the people that make the quiz? It's the same reason. It's the social graph stuff. So in some cases now, and there's a warning that's come out now from the feds about this very thing, which is doing those little innocent quizzes online is revealing information about you.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, it's revealing things like, where were you born? You know, how old are you? Yeah, those types of things. And people are answering them, and then they're getting fished, which means they're getting emails that are directed directly at them because of what they know about them. And in some cases, even their friends and families are. So you can't even trust quizzes anymore.
Well, now, Craig, I looked at this, and I think it's a great article, and you're spot on as usual. Some of those quizzes seem to me, and you're the expert here, but some of them seem to really be fishing for information that a lot of people would use as security questions or passwords. You know, what was the street you grew up on? What was your first dog's name, right? I mean, people use those all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And that's exactly what they're going for. You're right. They're basically security questions as well are part of this. And remember, these people that are running these various types of scams, right? These hosers, as I like to call them, right? Because they're trying to suck all your information out. These hosers are smart people, and now they're using some of the AI and machine learning to put all of this stuff together. So, yeah, where did you grow up? What was the name of your street? It's not just for coming up with fake names anymore. It really is being used now when they do something called password stuffing. So password stuffing is where they take literally 2 billion stolen email addresses and passwords, and they then feed them into a site that they're trying to break into. And if they can correlate your username, which is usually your email address, with answering some of these quiz questions, many times they can get right around some of this multi-factor authentication that some of these sites have in place. So it's, again, it's really be careful. This is another way that they're getting you.
Jeez. So, Craig, short of going back to like a piece of slate and a chisel, I mean, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, it's a problem. Social media is a real problem, and we're seeing it now, results of it, in not just the young kids that are, of course, growing up with it, and the bullying that happens 24/7 now. You know, I used to get bullied. I mean, bullied. I got beaten with 2x4s and nails and knives and everything else, you know, because I grew up in Canada, which is a lovely place. And it was a real problem for me to have all of that stuff happen to me. But at least I could walk a different way home or to school.
Right.
Kids can't get away from it now. But then it's keeping up with the Joneses. Right? Yeah. You have to have the latest Galaxy S24, don't you? Because everybody around you has it, right? And it's, oh, that's so cool. I like those features. And you're seeing it on social media. The information's being shared on social media, and it's keeping up with the Joneses and trying to one-up them. That's become a real problem for you and I, you know, people of our generation.
Yep.
So it's all the way through. You know, I had so much hope, Jeff, but way back when, and we were literally developing the internet, and it was very, very neat because we were able to share all kinds of cool stuff, and we had some great little joke things going, you know, back and forth, and we were learning things, sharing things, and you know what? Back then, it was about 98% conservatives on the internet.
Was it really? Oh my God.
I didn't know a single leftist on the internet, even back then. You know, mind you, this was decades ago. But there were none. It was very, very conservative because we were all engineers. We were all working, trying to build this, design the software, right? And Al Gore was the only guy who, you know, he was drinking the Coke and the Pep and eating the pizza. But, you know, it was a different world, and we had so many great hopes. It's still great. We're still able to do stuff. Google has become a repository of information that's out there, and that's all great. But the bad guys have figured out that they can multiply their voice, and they do that through these basically data centers where they have people stacked up who are trolls who are going online trying to influence elections. A study was done a few years back, not very long ago, in Orange County, California, of voters, and did Google sway the election? And they found in no uncertain terms, this was a university study, that yes, indeed, Google swayed it towards the Democrat that was in the race to the order of tens of thousands of votes.
Wow.
We're now looking at AI, right? Direct AI. And you saw what happened with Google's Gemini, showing you pictures of Nazis, and it was black people and Asians, and, you know, it wasn't the typical white Aryan that you would expect, and on, because it's being programmed from the base to be prejudiced, I guess, right? If race is an issue and you define things based on race, you're a racist. So it is really scary because one more thing on all, I'm sorry, I'm on a rant here.
No,
where's my
okay.
soapbox?
I love it.
One more thing here, which is, okay, we don't know exactly how AI works. Nobody does, right? We can get into the specifics of, okay, well, this code calls that, it's a matrix, and we do the multiplications, and, you know, we traverse it, and we use the GPUs. Okay, all of that, I get it, right? But when you get right down to it, how exactly is it making this decision, right? Because it isn't, it figures out the next word at a time. If you've ever watched it write something, right? It's one word at a time. What's the likelihood of the next word based on the previous words? That's how it does it. No program is sitting there doing it. However, they are taking the overall algorithm and they're tweaking it so that the program that is known as AI is going to go certain directions at some times. And it's all closed source, which is what Elon Musk just started suing them about, OpenAI, about a week ago, saying, hey, this is supposed to help humanity. It's supposed to be available to everyone. So how are we going to be able to trust this stuff that we don't see, the code's not being reviewed, and it's helping people make decisions? But courts are using it now to come up with decisions in some areas of the world. This is starting to really scare me.
I wish I could say that I didn't share your fear, but I look at this, I think in the same way that you do. I'm certainly not as smart as you, or I'm not an engineer. I don't know how to write code, but we're about the same age, and we have seen things develop. We come from a place and time where we remember the world before computers, right? I mean, there were big, massive things, and I remember as a kid, you fed it was almost like a ticker tape, and you got it to ring a bell, control G, and that was so cool, and acoustic couplers and all that. But now it's just part of being alive, and this AI transition, it does scare me a little bit, and it's not just looking at it, you know, composing an email and going, oh yeah, that's a good word, or yeah, you really are, you can do this. What happens when I don't have to do anything, and what use am I as this AI thing? Because I do worry. Is it a sentient creature? Is it somehow going to decide, well, we don't need the Jeffs or the Craigs anymore, yeah, and we'll just get rid of them because they're sucking up oxygen that could be used to cool our circuits, right? I mean, it sounds crazy, but yeah, is it totally insane?
No, it's not. In fact, I did a little study here on all of this, right? Not very deep, right? Not very repeatable in some cases, but the guys and gals that have come up with AIs, so we're talking about the heads of the top 20 AI companies that are out there, and there's a lot of companies,
right?
About 20% of them are worried that AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, it's actual intelligence, will be able to and will ultimately destroy humanity. 20% think that that could well happen. And AGI, artificial general intelligence, is probably going to be available by the end of this year.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of like Moore's Law. You know, it used to be the computing resources doubled every 18 months.
Right.
But now we're seeing these AIs take massive leaps in 2 to 6 weeks. That's how quickly they are progressing. It's very, very fast. So kind of tying this back to the quiz trap, the quiz stuff we were talking about earlier, people are don't understand this. Programmers that are doing some of this stuff, well, none of them really understand it, but we put too much trust into some of these systems that are out there. And we've got to start pulling back on that trust. Now, we're seeing the U.S. military now with drones that are effectively wingmen to our jet fighters. That's that, right, are ML-based, machine learning, AI-based. Already, we're seeing it happening in the Ukraine, or I guess Ukraine nowadays.
Yeah,
but
right,
it's all an issue, Jeff. And so we as individuals have to be careful. We as businesses have to use this stuff, yeah, or we're going to have a hard time competing. Yeah. So there's a fine line in between those two things. I don't think that we're all going to lose our jobs within the next few years because of AI. I think it'll make our lives easier. But there's a reason Musk wants to have men on Mars, and that is what happens if life on Earth gets wiped out.
Well, on that happy note, Craig, let me ask you two questions. Question number one, for folks who would like to get your newsletter, which, by the way, is not about the end of the world, but it does address really serious issues about staying safe online and not falling for any of these traps. Remind everybody how they get that newsletter.
Oh, there's so much good stuff, including how to fix Google search results that have gotten terrible. There's some really good little hacks in the newsletter. And you can get it by going to CraigPeterson.com. Just CraigPeterson.com. It's right there on the homepage, Jeff.
All right. And question number two, where in Canada did you grow up?
Oh, the Great White North, eh? Well, my dad worked for the Royal Bank, so we moved on average every 9 months when I was growing up, which is probably what pushed me into the tech shell, right?
Ah.
So I spent most of my life in Montreal, so I went to French schools, and a lot of it in Alberta, up north in Alberta. I remember days when 40 below zero was the high.
Wow. Well, then let me ask you one more question for my favorite quiz. Since you spent time in Montreal, you were probably walking along the main. You go to Schwartz's. It has to be Plou Gras, does it not?
Good old Schwartz's. There is a smoked meat place out on Île Perrot that is my favorite, and I love to go. I miss that, right? We don't have it down here. That kind of meal. You can get poutine, but it's not the same thing.
It is not the same. And for people saying it's just pastrami, no, smoked meat is what pastrami wants to be when it grows up. You and I both know that.
Here.
All right, we are going to organize a road trip, if nothing else, to Montreal at some point in La Belle Provence while we're still allowed there before they don't even allow people that speak English anymore. So I appreciate you being here, my friend. We will talk again soon. That is Craig Peterson. Go to his website, please, CraigPeterson.com. Sign up for the newsletter. All great stuff. It is 4:50. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRV. 503, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. It is Tuesday, and we have got a lot of stuff that we are dealing with this afternoon. Make no mistake about that. I'm taking a look as we speak at a big story that has to do with another building that either should or should not be built. I mean, once again, we are now hearing about a building that we would like to not be constructed. Am I right on this? $54 million is what is being expected for this VCU building. Now, you know, throughout all of these discussions, and we've had a few of them throughout the last year in particular, there's been exactly one guy who has been on top of this, who has been following it, and really, really stepping forward to talk about all of it. It is, of course, former Governor Doug Wilder, and I am just always honored, absolutely honored, when he can make some time for us to address these issues. Governor, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, it's my pleasure always to be with you, and I know the people who listen to your show appreciate the things that you bring out. Good to be with you, as always.
Well, that is very kind, sir, and make no mistake, we appreciate you being here and venturing forth and offering opinions on all of us. Let's dive right into this, because I am trying to figure out. I'm just looking at the headline, and I'm just going to share it with everybody. Lawmakers want VCU Health to cancel $56 million in payments to the city. All right, what the heck is going on now?
Well, it seems as if you and I, by speaking on this issue, have caused others to wake up. And unfortunately, those who needed to be awakened haven't shown it. And it took a legislator from Bath County. Charlottesville is in his district. Credees. Okay. To say, hey, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. Why should we agree to give you a $56 million? Nothing. We don't own the building. Oh, we got to pay for the demolition. We own that. If OU wants some more money to build a new dental site, then the question really comes up, as we've discussed it, Jeff, who has been in charge? Mm-hmm. Where has the president of the university been? You can't get him to open his mouth. Where has the board of visitors been? You can't get them to open their mouths. The hospital board, the health care board, Art Kellerman, the CEO, said this was a bad deal. We don't need it. Mm-hmm. Buy it. You got to sign it anyway. So I'm just pleased that somebody is paying attention. And I think the people that need to pay attention are those who are seeking to be elected this year, next year, at the mm-hmm. city level, state level. Based on what? You don't need any more waste of our dollars, and we need people to be responsible and represent us.
Well, let us jump a little bit further into this, because you, as I've said, and you were kind enough to include me in this, it's been essentially the two of us who have said, hey, there's That's something right. here that just does not smell right. So why then, Governor, is it a delegate, as you say, from Bath County who has to come forward and bring this up? I don't get that.
Well, he's a responsible lawmaker.
Yep.
And any responsible lawmaker who sees this would have to recognize what takes place. You remember this musician, Bill Withers, he put out a song, Just the Two of Us. It seems just the two of us. And goodness, thank goodness that there are those of us who speak to it. You want to spend $56 million in money to the city? Now, look at the city. Oh, does the city need it? Yes. They need money because their tax revenues are down. They are talking about how they're going to need additional money. But when we talk about what has been spent by VCU, incidentally, VCU has a health board and a board of visitors. Okay. They have their own lawyers. Both of them do. The attorney general represents them in addition to the law firm that they had. And when they had the report that came out, you and I discussed it on this program, they said there's conflict of interest at the top.
Right.
That has never changed. And I said, right now, the Board of Visitors, what they did was this. They wrote an op-ed piece, and it was written by the chairman of the Board of Visitors, saying everything was fine. And FVC, you should be congratulated. They all should be done away with as it relates to replacement. The governor of Virginia has a responsibility himself to inquire, and the attorney general. You want to run for office next year?
Yep.
You run based on what? You better step it up and get involved.
So tell me where you think this goes. Now, we're talking about folks who might be seeking office, obviously, on the Republican side of things, lieutenant governor, the attorney general, or certainly the front runners to run for governor. We've got a couple of people, Abigail Spanberger, and then, well, LeVar Stoney, as you know, the nominal mayor of the city, would like to do for the entire Commonwealth what he's done for the city, which scares the living heck out of me, but, you know.
Well, what you have just described is what the people of Virginia face.
Yeah.
Who is representing them? Who speaks for them? All right, you want to run for Governor LeVar, and you are now asking the state of Virginia to spend money on the demolition of a building they don't even own?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to run for Attorney General? I mean, Attorney General, and I call him. And I regard Jason Meares as a good man. I have a good relationship with him. But he has a responsibility. His office is the chief legal office in the state. What have you said about this, Jason? And why not? So the ticket, as far as I'm concerned, those people out here, I haven't heard Spanberger say a word. Have you?
I have not.
Or let me put it another way. Other than Jeff Katz and Doug Wilder, have you heard anyone else say a word?
What did Bill Withers say? It's the two of us, Gov.
I don't disagree with it. But I can tell you this. The people look to us. It also remains unclear what will happen to the public safety building's parcel. Now, they won't. Now they plan to build this $415 million dental school. But you know what they're saying? Oh, now wait a minute. We want to build a new dental school. Wait a minute. Why should you be given the authority to build and to do anything with your track record? And
that's
so
right.
I would say no new dental school. I don't care whether you own the land or not. No new tax dollars with this present administration handling it, and I mean the VCU administration, because they have not proven to be those safeguarders of the taxpayers' dollars. If this is what we got, if this is the cream of the crop, then God help the milk.
Former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder is joining us for a couple of moments. Apparently, we now have more than just the two of us saying, hey, this doesn't make sense to spend money on something that we don't own in the first place. And I have to ask you, Governor Wilder, we talk about the higher-ups at VCU. Now, obviously, the Wilder School is headquartered right there at VCU, and there are a lot of people that just wonder, my God, how on earth can Doug Wilder be that courageous to speak out against the leadership of VCU?
Well, as you might know, I have a little bit of history of being involved in danger. I learned my lessons on Pork Chop Hill in Korea when I was fighting to preserve our freedoms for our nation. And I survived that, and I felt if I could survive that, then I can survive anything. I have never shown any deference to respecting those who are in authority who don't deserve it. And I've been clear on this. I've been transparent on it. And I think when you consider that, who was the chairman of the hospital authority board?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the chairman was Mike O'Rear, the president of the school. They had their own attorney, which the report shows a conflict of interest. Has that been resolved? No. Is Ralph still there on the board? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How can you go along with that? And that's why I said to the governor when he said this was new to him, he was going to, it was a wake-up call for him. I said, well, now, okay, you're woke. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. Is there anything that the governor ought to be doing? It's his board of visitors, right?
Absolutely. I just mentioned it. What if I were the governor, I would ask for an immediate full report from the chairman of the board. No, from the board.
Yeah.
And to the contrary, I might even go further. I might even have them come to my office, the entire board. Oh, I might go to them, as I did when I was governor, when I went over to Virginia State and requested the resignation of the entire board. I did that. So don't tell me what you can and cannot do. And I think Governor Youngkin owes it to the people of Virginia, as well as Jason Mayores, the Attorney General, to give reasonable and political responses and legal responses to why we need to accept this as leadership. It's irresponsible. Yes. I call on the governor to speak.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. I like the governor, and I have respect for him, but this is one of those
Same here.
Goodness gracious, just seems to be simmering, and it just
but
does
I
not...
But I took the time, Jeff, and went and talked to him about it.
Yeah.
So he can't claim ignorance. He can't claim he does not know. I took the time and went and talked to Jason Mayores, the Attorney General. He can't claim ignorance. The Attorney General has lawyers advising VCU. The question that I would ask of Jason Mayores, these lawyers, when they give that advice, is this the advice that you authorized them to give? Do you stand by those lawyers? If so, say so. If not, then we know what to do.
That's right. Wow. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, I am certainly going to continue reaching out to, I guess, traditionally my side of the aisle. And if you want to handle the folks on the D side, I'll try and look after the R's. Although, I mean, at this point, who the heck knows what the teams are?
I'm going to stay on the P side, the people's side. And I think the people are saying, for God's sake, somebody look out for us. Somebody represent us. Other than Creedy's coming out of late, the only other voice I have heard is the voice that's on the other end of the line talking to you now. Wow. Thank you so much.
I love you. Listen, I love the
love
gum.
You, buddy.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless you, my friend. That is former Virginia Governor Doug Wilder. And make no mistake, there is really, truthfully, there is one guy who has dealt with that issue, and that has been Doug Wilder, and he has done it on this program. And if the ball is now in the court of the Attorney General and Governor Youngkin, then so be it. Then they've got to step up to the plate, as far as I'm concerned, and get it done. This is money that should not be squandered. It is just that simple. All right. It is 5:13, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is officially 5:20-ish, and that means I got a pair of tickets for you if you would like to go see Rain. This is a tribute to the Beatles, and they will be performing at Chesterfield After Hours. It's going to be a fantastic show because, quite frankly, Matt Krieger and the gang at the After Hours place does the best. I mean, honest to goodness, whether you're seeing the show in Chesterfield or you're seeing something up here in Doswell at Meadow Event Park, they always, always, always put on a great show. So we'll just take, how about caller number 11 right now, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. And caller number 11, you're going to get yourself a pair of tickets for Rain. Again, this is a tribute to the Beatles. It's going to be at Chesterfield After Hours as the season kicks off, and I would just love to make you a winner. Coming up in a couple of moments, Joe Moreno is going to be here, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, and we're going to ask him to talk all about Special Counsel Herr and his testimony today. And we've got a couple of tickets left, believe it or not, for Politics and Pints, presented by Chronic Care of Richmond. I don't know what you're waiting for, but if you're looking for an invitation, here it is. Head on over to WRBA.com and get those tickets now. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Five 8:33, Jeff Gads, News Radio, WRVA. So I'm performing technical operations in the background here. Jeremy sent me the link to the story at my request, and then I clicked on it, and then, I don't know, things started flashing. There was no smoke from the laptop, but I'm telling you, all sorts of bad things started popping up, and so now I'm, I have, you want to talk about a brick, I got like a doorstop right here. So if you hear some clicking and clacking in the background, it's not my knees, I'm just trying to revive the laptop. So that's all. I just want to give you the heads up. Now, that being said, you heard, I heard, we listened to some of the audio from Special Counsel Robert Hur today, who I thought made very clear, hey, I didn't clear the president. I'm just telling you, he's so out of it that I don't think anybody would go along with a conviction. And that seems to be the process here. But I thought, let's get it clear. Joe Moreno, I always describe, and I'm being very honest with you, with the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, but he's also a former federal prosecutor who knows a thing or two about the system and the process of bringing charges, and I'm happy that he is here. Joe, thank you for being here.
Jeff, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing well. I am watching and listening and reading the testimony in front of, I guess it's the House Judiciary Committee. What are your takeaways from all of this?
Jeff, my number one takeaway is you couldn't pay me enough to be sitting in Robert Hur's seat today before Congress, because nobody was happy with him, right?
Right.
I mean, on one side, you have to say, oh my gosh, how could you possibly not recommend bringing charges when you are effectively saying that Joe Biden was guilty?
Yep.
And on the other hand, they kept trashing him because they were upset that he wrote in good faith his take on the president's state of mind. And look, this is not some Republican plant. This is a lifelong, very smart, very well thought of lifetime federal prosecutor who was chosen by Joe Biden's attorney general. So the attorney general picked Robert Hur for this job. So now to disparage him because he wrote what was his honest truth is really kind of, they should be thanking their lucky stars that he basically gave Joe Biden a pass. And instead they're having a fit because of the reason he gave him that pass.
Right. Well, talk a little bit about the reason that he gave him the pass.
So it's a little puzzling because your state of mind with respect to whatever crime you are being accused of, whether it's murder or kidnapping or, in this case, mishandling classified documents, mm-hmm. the state of mind that is truly relevant is what you were thinking at the time you engaged in the crime. And remember, Joe Biden apparently has been taking classified documents out of secure facilities for decades. This isn't just the last few years. This is going back to when he was a senator.
Right.
So, and there's no reason to question his state of mind back then. And in mm-hmm. fact, in subsequent statements, he acknowledged that he found classified documents in his home. So he basically said, not only did he do it, but then there's proof that he knew that he did it right. and that he kept doing it by keeping those documents. So for Robert Hur to focus on his state of mind today, it's not so much a legal conclusion, it's a practical conclusion. It's saying, look, he did it, but I think the prosecutor, would have trouble proving it beyond a reasonable doubt because a jury would find him so befuddled and his memory so poor mm-hmm. that they would have a hard time convicting him. That's very, very different than saying he didn't commit the crime itself.
So, is that something that ordinarily happens with the prosecutor? I mean, you were a federal prosecutor, Joe. Did you have to analyze it and say, look, you know, special agents, you did exactly what you're supposed to do, and these are certainly the elements of the crime, and they fit in these four nifty corners here, but come on, nobody's going to convict this dude.
Absolutely, and you do that as a federal prosecutor, as a state or local prosecutor, you do that all the time. Look, cases flood into these offices. Only a small fraction of them ever actually get prosecuted. And so prosecutors constantly have to look through cases and make bread and butter decisions about whether this is a valuable use of the prosecutor's office's time. And so, and agents do get frustrated by this, and police officers, because they bring good evidence. And you have to sometimes turn them away and say, hey, look, I'd love to bring this case, but for this or that or whatever other reason, I think we're going to run into a roadblock here. And so that's what Robert Hur is saying to us. Again, it's not that Joe Biden didn't commit the crime. Right. It's that a jury is unlikely to convict him because of his current state of mind.
Joe Moreno is joining us, a former federal prosecutor himself, and providing us with some insight into what Robert Hur was thinking or trying to present. In many ways, then, Joe, both sides, as you say, are angered, but in many ways, he gave each side sort of an out.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I mean, the Democrats should be, again, thanking their lucky stars, yeah. Right, that he gave Joe Biden this huge pass. And, of course, it's screams hypocrisy. Yep. As we know, I mean, what Hillary Clinton did was probably worse than this because she arguably obstructed justice, aside from hoarding classified documents on her email server. Yeah. But when you look at Hillary Clinton getting a pass and Joe Biden getting a pass and then throwing the book at Donald Trump, yes. I think that's something that obviously is going to affect a lot of people. And so I think that Republicans, I mean, yes, they did get that piece of the characterization of Joe Biden's mental state, mm-hmm. and they have every right to kind of run with that and say, hey, look, how can this guy be president if he can't even stand trial? So, yeah, there's something for both sides, and there's something for both sides to be angry about. And so I kind of feel like it's one of those days in Washington where it's good television, but at the end of the day, nothing really changes.
Well, let me ask you about the prosecution of Donald Trump for having these classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. As I understand, and of course, I'm not an attorney, but the president of the United States basically can have whatever he wants, whenever he wants it, and he decides it's classified, it's not classified. So I would have to think that's part of the Trump defense. The Biden defense, at best, is... Geez, he's a buffoon. I mean, and he was like Sandy Berger, you know, he's stuffing stuff in his socks and his shorts.
Yeah, that's a good recollection there, Jeff. We're dating ourselves.
Yes.
You know, you're absolutely right. The president is a distinct figure with respect to the world of classified documents and classifications. A president can bring classified documents wherever he or she wants, can declassify documents, which is something that no one else can do, not the vice president, not any kind of high-ranking Defense Department officer or civilian, and not a member of Congress. And so Donald Trump's argument no doubt will be, even beyond the hypocrisy argument, which is a good one,
yep.
He'll say, look, I am allowed to bring these documents with me as president. I'm allowed to declassify these documents as president. And therefore, I, in good faith, believed I had done nothing wrong. Now, you might believe that, you might not believe that, but it is very different than what a former senator or former vice president can allege, because they are never supposed to take documents out of a secure facility. Right. So the fact, and Joe Biden, you know, apparently he spent a lot of time blaming his staff, which is, that's the ultimate cop-out, because your staff, as a senator, your staff does not bring classified information out of a SCIF, a secure facility. Only the member of Congress can do that.
Yep.
So for him to kind of blame unnamed staffers is just really, really, really kind of walking away from, you know, his own responsibility here. At least, like, man up and take responsibility, Mr. President. Yep. You did it. Yep. You'd be given a huge pass here. But at least don't blame nameless staffers. Take some ownership of what happened here.
Yeah, well, I will say, whether you concur or not, but man, I'm not surprised that he's blaming others. I just don't think this is a guy that ever takes accountability or responsibility for anything that he's done. His mental state now, though, Joe, is essentially, as a result of this, people are being told, hey, he's just really he's not competent almost to stand trial. But he is perfectly competent to be president of the United States. It terrifies me to think that we've got such different standards, apparently. Isn't that twisted?
Well, I think perhaps the president's backers were probably nervous a few weeks ago when this report first broke, and he had that horrible press conference where he's still making mistakes and he's kind of lashing out like an angry old man.
Yep.
My guess is a few weeks have passed, the dust has settled a bit, and they're going to argue he did a decent job at the State of the Union address. Mm. Now, so I think that's going to, so I think probably that put their fears to rest that he can get through the next 10 months of the campaign. Mm-hmm. We'll see about that. But so I think probably the political fear that the president's backers had have probably subsided for now. That being said, I wouldn't put it past them for a minute that if he starts really falling behind this spring and summer, they'll do what they need to replace him.
Really? You still think that's on the table?
I think that I wouldn't put anything past them. And I think if they feel like these polls that are showing Donald Trump pulling ahead, a few even above 50%, I think if they see that happening into the summer months at the convention, they can use the excuse of his age to say, hey, you know what? I'm tapping out. We're going to replace the president with somebody younger, a candidate that has some more of a future ahead of him or she, he or she, and that's who will run against Donald Trump.
Wow. All right. Well, that is some fascinating prognostication there, Counselor. I like that. That's good stuff. That's good. All right. Now, listen, I want everybody to follow you on X. I want them to check out the website. Remind everybody how we do that, okay?
Hey, josephmoreno.com. Joseph Moreno on X. And as I say every time I appear on Jeff's show, look, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I think there's nothing more important than reading the facts, finding some good analysis, and really making your own determinations. Because as we've seen recently with this 14th Amendment case, there were a lot of so-called experts out there calling it one way. And when it actually got to true Supreme Court justices, it was smacked back the other direction. I think it's a great example. Don't believe anything everything you hear. Make your decision for yourself.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, I just treasure your time here. I appreciate you making time for us, and look forward to doing it again in the very near future. That is Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor. Some great insight on what was really in the special counsel report. It's 300-plus pages, and both sides are angry, but both sides sort of have an out on this, and it's just fascinating stuff. And then Joe is the best of the best. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I do want to remind you about a couple of things. 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, I would urge you to be right here listening to my friend John Reed. Always a great program with John, and I just hope you are tuning in nice and early and giving it a really, really good listen. I would also urge you to take advantage of the fact that apparently we've still got a couple of tickets left for Politics Pints presented by Chronic Care of Richmond. Now, I'm with you. I can't believe that we've got any left, but I'm hearing it, so it's got to be the case. So if you've been holding off, you're waiting for the last minute, it is what it is, but you can still get in. It's me, it's John Reed, it's Howard Gutman, and it's Brian Kilmeade this time. Boy, you don't want to miss this one. Go to WRVA.com right now. WRVA.com right now. Now, if we could, Germ, I would ask you to get cut number one ready, because here's what's happening. You and I know that our border simply doesn't exist at this point, right? The southern border, what was the last count? 6 million illegal aliens that have entered into the United States since Joe Biden shuffled in to the Oval Office. And we're told, I mean, Joe Biden told us, these are the people that built America and they're all fine folks and they want this and they want that. Well, our enemies are not stupid. Sometimes we think, if you're evil, you're stupid. No. Our enemies are evil. The Chinese Communist Party, absolutely evil, but they are not stupid. ISIS, evil people, but not stupid. Take a listen to cut number one.
Smuggling organizations are run by or are conducted by people that have ties, for example, to ISIS or other terrorist organizations.
So I want to be a little bit careful how far I can go in open session, but there, you know, there is a particular network that has where some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties that we're very concerned about, and that we've been spending an enormous amount of effort with our partners investigating. Exactly what that network is up to is something that's, again, the subject of our current investigation.
But there is a network we're concerned about that has facilitators involved in it that have ties to ISIS
Correct.
And other terrorist organizations.
Correct.
Wow. Do you need any more than that? I mean, we know, we learned a couple of weeks ago, 450, and it's a ballpark figure, but somewhere around 450 Chinese nationals between the ages of 18 and 25, all men, all young men, that's military age, captured trying to get into the United States, and then I guess we just let them go. ISIS, again, evil, absolutely evil to their very core, but gang, stupid, they ain't. They understand the border is porous. They understand that, well, we've, the result of Joe Biden, turned the Border Patrol into Uber drivers. It's awful, and it is dangerous. Now, we'll talk more about it as, well, we lead up to the election, and I just don't know how anybody can go in any other direction, but that's me. Hey, tomorrow morning, John Reed is going to be here. God willing, you're going to get out and enjoy this weather, and you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Adios and via con Dios. Going home.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.